الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر أو ليوشكن الله أن يبعث عليكم عقابا من عنده ثم لتدعنه فلا يستجاب لكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
Respected friends, brothers and elders, before we start with the topic that I wish to discuss, just one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَتِمُّ الصُّفُوفُ al-awwal fal-awwal. That complete the safs, the rows, first the first row, then the next row. In the light of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with the enthusiasm of fulfilling the encouragement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us fill all the spaces in front of us, let us complete all the rows in front, so that on the one hand we get the benefit of this sunnah as well, the thawab and the rewards of this, and on the other hand those who will come later will have space with ease. All those who are in the back also, a humble request in the light of this hadith to come forward and to fill the gaps in front. The ayat of the Quran Kareem, or the one verse of the Quran Kareem that I recited, in this verse and the ayat that follow it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala narrates to us the advice of a father to his son. The father was not just any father also. He was that father whose wisdom the Quran testified to. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that indeed we granted Luqman wisdom, hikmah. So that father who the Quran testifies to his wisdom, he gave some nasihat and some advice to his son, and this advice was such filled with wisdom that the Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala preserved it for us in the Quran Kareem and for the people till the day of Qiyamah to come, so that this advice could be taken by every single person. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the Ahlullah, the pious servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala are like our spiritual fathers. And in that light, we need to take this advice as their spiritual children. And together with that, just as this is advice of a father to his son, we too should be taking this kind of advice back to our own children. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. That recall that time when Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ, while he was advising him. Now there is no letter, no word in the Quran Kareem which is redundant, which is merely there for repetition without any specific meaning. Every word conveys a message. Every word conveys a lesson. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that remember when Luqman salatu wasalam said to his son, when he said to his son, what did he say? That could have been mentioned. But over and above that, when he said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِذُ, while he was advising him, what is the message, what is the lesson? The message and lesson is that this is the duty of every father, to be constantly and regularly advising his children. As far as the advice of the worldly things is concerned, many a father will give that kind of advice. Many a father will remind his son that these fees that we pay for you to take your course, whatever you are doing, in order for you to gain that degree, these fees, this money doesn't grow on trees. We work hard for it. Don't come end of the year with a failed report. That kind of advice many a father will give. Many a father will remind his son that this shop didn't fall from the sky. I worked hard for it. My sweat and perspiration and blood is also in here. So don't think it's going to run on its own. You will have to also work for it. That kind of advice many a father will give his son. But how often do we advise our children as far as deen is concerned? How often do they hear the name of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from our tongues? That is the lesson and that is the message that is being given in these two words. وَهُوَ يَعِذُ While he was advising him. That this is a duty of every parent. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that every person who is a shepherd and he is questionable regarding his flock, he will have to answer on the day of Qiyamah, what advice did he give to his flock? Nevertheless, the advice Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then mentions to us, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la ghulmun azeem. He says to him, Ya bunayya, O my beloved son. The Quran narrates the very word he used. The word bunayya translates as, O my beloved son. Again, the lesson that a person should be approaching, having the approach of love, of muhabbat, of affection, that will bring his children closer to him. Otherwise, that child is going to look for his advice on the streets. That advice which will make him go further away from the right path, that advice which will put him into further problems, that kind of open communication needs to be there between parent and children. So that when that child has a problem, he finds that his best friend is his father. His best friend is his mother. And he can openly relate to them. And when that approach will be of muhabbat, of shafqat, of affection, then that child will find that I have a friend here. And that open communication will exist. Otherwise, he'll look for his solutions out on the streets. He'll look for his solutions by those people who will take him into further problems. And unfortunately, because of this lack of communication between parents and children, many cases where parents come crying with their children, when a person goes a little beneath the surface, one of the first things that emerge is that there is a total lack of communication between parent and child. And in some instances, some people have done a little kind of research. They found in many instances, the sum total of communication between parents and child for a whole week sometimes amounts to less than half an hour. And that too much of it is take this, do that. So this is the lesson, this is the message that is being given. That on the one hand, that open communication should be there. There should be love and muhabbat and affection. Yes, when there's a problem, it needs to be sorted out. But the approach has to be with love and affection. Nevertheless, Luqman salatu wasalam then says to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azeem. O my beloved son, don't ever ascribe partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Shirk and ascribing partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the worst oppression. On the one hand, this is a fundamental aqidah, a fundamental belief that a mu'min must be totally free from any kind of shirk. Ascribing partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether in his being, whether in his attributes and qualities, there is none worthy of worship but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Like that, in the attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is none that gives rizq but Allah ta'ala. There is none that can give children but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All the other attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a person does not ascribe any partners in it. On the one hand, this is the explanation of a fundamental belief. But it is more than that. What is the message again? What is the lesson that is being given? The lesson is that the aqaid and the beliefs in every aspect must be correct. Otherwise, a person will be performing salah also. He will be keeping fast in the month of Ramadan. He will be going for hajj and umrah. He will be giving much charity. But because of beliefs not being in order, some beliefs he might have of such a nature which will take him out of the pale of Islam. And he will find that on the day of Qiyamah when he comes, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ مِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الضَّمْآنُ مَاءً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدُ شَيْئًا. Those who commit kufr with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, even in one aspect, person denies any one fundamental of deen, that takes him out of the pale of Islam. On the day of Qiyamah, he will come and find that there's nothing for him. His amal, his actions in the world, that salah he performed, he woke up early in the morning and came for Fajr salah also, daily, but he didn't have the correct aqaid. He will find his amal like a mirage. A thirsty person in the desert sees water far away. When he goes there, there's nothing. It's just sand and dust. The aqaid must be correct in every aspect. Sometimes we take things for granted. Just to give us one example of how careful we have to be and how much effort we have to make on our own children to protect their iman, to protect their aqaid. One primary madrasa, two children were having a quarrel over something. So one child called the other a baboon. So the other child responded very coolly, very calmly, that, well, what's the problem with that? All of us are from baboons. So the ustad overheard this, so he called the children, and he asked them, what's the problem, what's happening? So the one child says, well, he called me a baboon. So I told him, well, what's the problem with that? All of us are from baboons. So he said, where did you get this from? He says, the teacher in school told us. Now that child of 9 years old or 10 years old, who is growing up in a Muslim home, but is growing up with this kufr belief, which is a total fiction, a fallacy, the fallacy of the so-called theory of evolution. He has taken it to be fact. It has been indoctrinated in his heart and mind. And he is growing up with that belief that, na'uzu billah, we have come from baboons. Whereas the first part of the history of a mu'min, as far as this world is concerned, is the first person on earth, Hazrat Adam ala Nabina wa salatu wa salam. But this child is growing up with this fallacy. This is just one example. There are many examples of this nature. We take it for granted. We take things casually. But we don't realize where our children are picking up what from. They are exposed to all the things all around the world all the time. The media is bombarding them with everything. But there is no effort from within the home to make sure that they are given the right aqaid, to make sure that they are not harboring any such beliefs which are totally against Islam. So this is the message that is being given. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Thereafter in two ayat, the rights of parents are discussed, which we don't have time to go into. The next ayat, the next advice that Luqman salatu wasalam gave to his son, and he says to him, ya bunayya, innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardal, fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ard ya'ti biha Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Says to him, O my beloved son, if there is a particle to the size of a mustard seed, and for our understanding we can even say to the size of an atom. In those days the people only knew the smallest thing that they knew was a mustard seed. So the Quran gave the example accordingly. The size of an atom, if that particle is in within a rock, or if it is in the heights of the skies, or if it is in the depths of the earth, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ, Allah Ta'ala will bring that forth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala is most subtle and He is all aware of everything. Now again, this is like a concept being explained. But it is not just some concept that is being explained. There's a deep message and a lesson that is being given. What is that message? What is that lesson? Luqman salatu wasalam is saying to his son, that, oh my son, that particle which is that size, small as that atom, if it is in that rock, forget being in the rock, if it is on top of that rock, we won't see it with our glasses also. But if it is inside that rock, or if it is in the depths, heights of the skies, or in the depths of the earth, that Allah who has that power to bring that forth, that Allah who is aware of that particle within that rock, or in the heights of the skies, or in the depths of that earth, that Allah is aware of every single thing about you. That consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is being developed in the heart of that child. The consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when it comes into a person, that he requires nobody to police him and nobody to guard him. Every person is concerned, how do I save my children from all the things that are tempting them towards the vices around them? How do I save my son from the drugs that are taking place all around? How do I save my son from the gambling that is taking place? How do I save my son from all the immorality that is taking place? How long are you going to be able to guard that son? How long are you going to be able to guard that daughter? As long as that child feels that somebody is watching, as far as human beings are concerned, he'll take his precautions. But as soon as he feels that nobody is watching, and how long are the parents going to watch? How long is the ustad going to watch? How long is society going to keep guard? As long as that person feels that nobody is watching, then he'll do whatever he wants to do. Therefore, Luqman salatu wasalam is embedding this consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the heart of the child. When this comes in the heart, then the person needs nobody to guard him. Neither does he require his parents to guard him. Neither he requires his ustad to guard him, or society to look over what he's doing. The police is within him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, was patrolling in the outskirts, and he came across a shepherd who was grazing some sheep. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that, I'm very thirsty, I'm a musafir, I'm a traveler, and I require some milk. Why don't you milk one of these sheep and give me the milk? So this person said that, look, if I was the owner of these sheep, it was a very simple thing, I would have given it to you. But I am just the shepherd, I am just an employee. I don't have the right to give you that milk. The owner is somewhere else. So I cannot give you the milk. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala decided to test him a little. Just see how genuine he is. So he said to him, look, I will tell you something. I will benefit, you will benefit also. What you do is give me one sheep, I will give you the money for it. You take the money for yourself, and I will have the sheep for me. I will milk the sheep, I will have the milk. All you do is tell your master that the wolf has eaten one sheep up, and this is something common, it happens all the time. So you got the money, I got the sheep, my work is done, your work is done. And what the master is going to know, he won't be the wiser. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala said this to test this person, without hesitation, over and over again, he began exclaiming, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ Where is Allah? My master is not here. Nobody else is here to see what I am doing. But where is Allah? Where can I hide from Allah? That consciousness was being developed in the heart of the son. Luqman salatu wasalam was giving this advice that that particle which is in the depths of that rock, or in the heights of the skies, or in the depths of the earth, Allah ta'ala knows about it. This kind of consciousness is being developed. We call it iman and yaqeen. We call it the consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It comes to one and the same thing. Remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching us all the time, being aware of it, and fulfilling the dictates of that knowledge. This is that message and lesson that Luqman salatu wasalam was giving to his son. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is also once again making gasht on the outskirts or around Madinatul Munawwara, and he overhears a conversation of mother and daughter from within a house. The mother is saying to the daughter that, mix some water into the milk. Tomorrow when we will sell it, we will get more. That mother is making the tarbiyat of her child, and she is testing her child. So the daughter says that Umar Amirul Mu'mineen has forbidden this, because this is a form of deception. The buyer thinks that it is all milk and the seller has mixed water into it. This is deception. We cannot do this. So the mother is testing her child to see how genuine, how much this has been developed in her. So the mother says that, where is Umar here to see what you are doing? So the daughter, a young girl, replies that, if Umar is not here, the Rabb of Umar is watching. Allah is watching what we are doing. Umar radiallahu anhu overhears this conversation. He goes home and he proposes marriage to that girl for one of his sons. And that those parents became the, in their progeny, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was born. That consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was being developed, and this is a message that is being given in this ayat. Thereafter, to go to the next advice, he then says to his son, Ya bunayya, aqimi salata wa'mur bil ma'rufi wanha anil munkar, wasbira ala ma asabak, inna dhalika min azmin umur. O my beloved son, establish salah. Aqimi salah. Over and over again, the Quran Kareem talks of iqamati salah, establishing salah, not mere performance of salah. Establishing salah means performing it regularly 5 times a day, on its time, with its etiquettes in the proper manner. That is establishing salah. And performance of salah, person either doesn't perform all the salah, or he performs all the salah but haphazardly, doesn't fulfill the sunnah, doesn't fulfill the etiquettes of that salah, that is performing salah. The Quran has demanded iqamati salah. It has demanded over and over again 700 times of establishing salah. Luqman salatu wasalam is giving his son that advice as well. How often do we give our children that advice? Sometimes a person will say, I tell my son a couple of times, I've told him, but he just doesn't listen. He doesn't want to wake up for Fajr. For example, if that very same son decides that he's not coming to the shop anymore, or he's not going to varsity anymore, he's not going to school anymore, will the father suffice by telling him twice or thrice, and very coolly and calmly and casually say, I told him 2-3 times, he doesn't want to listen, what can I do? That won't be the situation in that case. There the whole family will be brought together, and perhaps people from far and wide will be brought to explain to the person, look what you are doing with your life, you need to go to study, you need to earn a living. What not will be told to him, everything will be done, whatever is possible, to make him understand that you've got to go back. That lesson is being given, that we have to constantly be advising our children of establishing salah in their lives. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And then he says to him, enjoin the right and forbid the evil. وَاسْبِرَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And be patient upon that which befalls you in enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong. This duty of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahya anil Munkar, Luqman salatu wasalam is saying it to his son. This is a duty that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed on all of us. In the varying capacities that we have, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed the duty of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahya anil Munkar on every individual, according to the varying capacities. And this is that aspect of deen. When it comes alive, deen comes alive. And when Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahya anil Munkar dies out, then gradually deen dies out. A person cannot remain on the fence forever. He either is an inviter, or sooner or later he becomes invited. Person can remain on the fence for a day, for a month, for a year, but for how long? Sooner or later he is invited towards either the right or the wrong. The thing is, when a person becomes an inviter towards the right, that is the protection and safeguard from being invited towards the wrong. Luqman salatu wasalam, after creating that consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the heart of his son, gives him that safeguard. Besides being a duty, that safeguard, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That person who himself is enjoining the right and forbidding the evil, he will sooner or later get the tawfiq of doing that himself, of doing the right and staying away from the evil. This aspect of da'wat and inviting towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is that revolutionary aspect, which when it comes alive, it brings thousands and hundreds of thousands of people onto the right track. This is something which no person requires any explanation and elaboration upon. This work of da'wah that is taking place throughout the world, any person who has his eyes open can see that this is something which has brought hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people to come onto the path of deen, to come onto that path which brings them towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, makes them conscious of the akhirat. A person on one day is the worst kind of person in society. Everybody hates him. And he goes out, somebody encourages him, he goes out in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a while, and he comes back as a totally new person. People cannot believe what kind of change has overcome him. This is the effect of da'wat ilallah. And this is something which a person only needs his eyes to be open to see it. This is the reality of this duty and function of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahya anil Munkar, inviting towards the right and forbidding the evil. Within a person's own home, when this duty will be upheld, deen will be alive in that house. Otherwise, a person in his own capacity will be pious. In his own capacity, he will be fulfilling his 5 times salah. But if the duty of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahya al-Munkar is not discharged in his house, in his very home, the janazas of sunnahs will come out. The janazas of the faraiz of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will come out. Yet in his own capacity, he would be regarded as a pious person. This is that aspect which we have to become conscious about. And at every moment, a person is a da'i, he's an inviter towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whether he is a businessman in his business, the way he conducts himself, he has to do it in the correct way with the niyat of da'wat ilallah. He will bring people to Islam with the way he conducts business, as people in the past became Muslims, merely watching the conduct of businessmen. If he is dealing in society, how he conducts himself with people, he is a da'i towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When he adopts the correct approach in order to attract people towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that approach of his is da'wah towards Allah ta'ala. In every capacity, in every aspect, in every sphere of life, a person has to become a da'i towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has entrusted us with. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. That you are the best of ummats, the best of nations who have been evolved for the benefit of mankind, brought out, brought forth for the benefit of mankind. You enjoin the right, you forbid the evil, and وتؤمنون بالله. You have complete iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In this regard, alhamdulillah, already from now, the ijtima has commenced in Darlam, which will continue till Sunday. We should all try and make it our duty to take our time, spare our time out of whatever we have, whatever other engagements we have, and make it our duty to go there and participate in the programs that will take place there with this intention and with this niyat, that just as this da'wah has brought alive millions of hearts around the world, may my heart also become alive with this function and reality of how I can become a true believer, a true mu'min in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and an inviter towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq of becoming those kind of mu'mins that he loves us and we love him, and may we leave this world in that kind of condition. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.